Remember those baptismal certificates that hung on your grandparents' wall? Beautiful. They had the baptism of Jesus and other images and their name. It was always a constant reminder of the gift that the Lord Jesus gave them in their baptism. Well, we have a new version of that. If you visit wolfsoncreative.com, you can see the baptismal certificates there. They're available electronically for congregations to print as many as you want, or individually, paper copies for families to hang on the wall and treasure the Lord's gift of baptism. The website is wolfsoncreative.com. And with each purchase, Issues Etc. gets a portion of the proceeds to carry on their work. Thanks for visiting wolfsoncreative.com.
Yes, the Bible has the power to change lives. But it does more than just give practical advice. The Bible is the law book of God's kingdom. It sets forth the principles we must adhere to if we are to live forever under that kingdom's rule. Jehovah's Witnesses have helped millions to gain an accurate knowledge of God's Word and to apply its power in their lives. As the Bible promised at Psalm 145:16, God will open his hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
That's a promotional video produced by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, otherwise known as the Jehovah's Witnesses, joining us to talk about the beliefs and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. Haven't we all found them at our front door? The last time someone came to the Wilkin House, a Jehovah's Witness, I was taken in. I was expecting the tall, austere, suited man. It wasn't. It was a very attractive young lady. I thought she might be selling encyclopedias or vacuum cleaners until I saw the tracks, until I saw Awake, until I saw the evidence that I was dealing with a Jehovah's Witness. But she was very, very friendly, which was not my usual experience with Jehovah's Witnesses. Pastor Eric Lang joins us. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled When Jehovah's Witnesses Come Knocking. Eric, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be here.
What's the most important thing any of our listeners needs to know when the Jehovah's Witness appears at their doorstep about what that Jehovah's Witness believes?
Well, kind of what you were playing there earlier, you could hear it in that message. They don't have the certainty of salvation. They don't have the certainty of God's love for them in Christ. For them, everything is an opportunity, just merely an opportunity for salvation. They don't know the certainty of salvation that has been obtained.
Okay, let's deal with basic things then. They will use the same words mm-hmm. that Christians use. Some of them they will avoid, but much of the language sounds the same. What should we know there?
Yeah, and it can be very confusing because of that fact. What they do is terms that you would take for granted that you think you know what they're meaning, that they don't. I mean, so they'll talk highly about Jesus. Let's just start there. But their Jesus is a much different Jesus than the one we confess, the one that's found in the Scriptures. They view Jesus as having been a creature. He was the first of God's creations, the first creature. And God used then this first creature to create everything else. And then he becomes a man, and only a man. Though Jesus, you know, that we hear of the Scriptures, but he's just merely a man. And then what they call their resurrection, which is really not a resurrection, God simply remembers this Jesus, and he's no longer a man, but he's an angel again. When they're talking about Jesus and saying good things about Jesus, you need to know, okay, but they don't understand Jesus the same way we do. When they talk about, they will use, I think I mentioned this in my article, they will use this language of a ransom, that Christ paid a ransom, but they would argue that a ransom has to be exactly equivalent to truly be a ransom, and they quote the passage, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and they would say, and this is why then Christ could be no more than a man, because if he was more than a man, his ransom would be too valuable in a sense, which is kind of an interesting thing then that plays into how they understand then also the resurrection. He really isn't raised from the dead, that is, as a human being. I mean, the Jesus who was human doesn't come back, but he's created, recreated into a spirit being. So they will tie a lot of these things together, but a lot of it is that the TARD is, like you say, because of the fact that they will use similar terms.
So in a nutshell, and this is really where it all needs to center, and that is on the personal work of Christ, they have a Jesus who isn't God, who is a created being, who when he was man was not also God, when he made his sacrifice did not make the all-atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, but some other kind of sacrifice, and when he was quote-unquote resurrected, was not resurrected, in fact, a bodily resurrection as Scripture teaches, but recreated as his original self.
Yeah, yeah.
So what good does he do us? Or at least according to Jehovah's Witnesses, what good does he do anybody?
Well, what he does, and they will say this actually in their literature, he provides the opportunity for us to gain life again. But to regain that life, as that video little clip you played, is all about obedience. Obedience to Jehovah, which ultimately means obedience to the Watchtower Society.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that, because it's pretty obvious they have to deny long tracts of Scripture and replace them with something else. What's the real authority among Jehovah's Witnesses? Is it the Bible?
Well, this is where the problem comes. It's the Bible, but it's their Bible, which is, of course, a Watchtower creation. But the average Jehovah's Witness, and this is one of the things that makes it very difficult to witness to them, is that, you know, they think that this particular group is God's channel for delivering the truth. I mean, this is the discreet slave that's mentioned in Scripture. They'll use that word, which is supposed to be the channel for God's truth. And so what can be very complicated when you're dealing with witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses is, as I've often pointed out when I've talked to people, is you need to, part of the thing is you need to help them to lose confidence in the society, and there's various ways you can do that. But they would say they're quoting the Bible. I mean, they would show you, you know, they'll show you this is a bad translation. They'll make this kind of statement, and what's interesting there is they really don't. Certainly, the founder Charles Russell and Rutherford, the next president, none of them really knew the languages at all. In fact, they kind of bragged about not knowing the languages, although there's this one thing, and I don't know, there's debate about it, whether Russell perjured himself about his knowledge of the language. And I usually don't, you know, bring in that kind of stuff because, you know, that's not always helpful in the discussion. But they will use their Watchtower Bible. Now, what's can be helpful is if you know their Watchtower Bible, and if you're going to get into this with them, I will actually use that because you can actually show them things from their own translation that they have difficulties with.
So in other words, in their retooling of the Bible to suit their erroneous beliefs, they've missed some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And so, you know, one of the things you have to be concerned here to make this point, I think, who are we talking about? Average Joe Jehovah's Witness, or are we talking about the Watchtower Society? Average Joe Jehovah's Witness, I would argue, is somebody who's sincerely trying to find the truth quite often. And it's really when you look at some of the material that's put out by their people, the Watchtower leaders, where you see some, certainly bad scholarship, certainly, and not only that, but sometimes where they will misquote something, or they will not let you know who they're quoting. Here's an example of it. One place they quoted, of all people, Martin Luther, with regard to it was on his discussion of the councils, and they were, and when you look at the actual the whole context of the quotation, he's actually speaking against them, but they quote him in such a way that you would never know that unless you went and checked it. Of course, I did, because as soon as I saw Luther, I said, wait a second, what's going on here? So, you know, you run into that sort of thing. But Average Joe Jehovah's Witness, I think, is pretty sincere about, you know, they really want to know the truth. They're just convinced the Watchtower has given it to them.
So if you're dealing with someone who cannot have any certainty of God's gracious favor toward them, or even of a resurrection, or anything approaching to what Christianity teaches as eternal life, if you're dealing with someone like that, does that present an opportunity to, if you will, not only shake their confidence in their authority, that is the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, but also shake their confidence in their own ability to attain even what they call eternal life?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a thing that, you know, that keeps them in line and why they're so active, because they don't have this certainty and they're trying to win it. And, you know, I make the point, when one's dealing with them, one always has to remind oneself, I think, you know, you're not in this to simply be winning an argument, but you're actually, you know, you're doing battles against the spirits of darkness. And this is, you know, individual salvation is in the balance here, and that, you know, you want to do it in a way that you certainly, and that's why I said, when you said what's the most important thing, they don't have the certainty of Christ. I point out in my article, you know, that even if, you know, I would love to see us have people who are equipped to kind of, you know, sit down and have discussions with these individuals, but even if, you know, every time somebody would come to one of our doors, for example, and you know, you would respond, "Hey, I'm a Lutheran, glad to take your literature, you know, I want to be open-minded, but I got to tell you, I can't, you know, understand how anything could be better than the church I'm at. You know, I'm so blessed by my church and knowing Jesus, what he has done for me and continues to do for me, and the certainty I have in my salvation, and I hope you find that in your church," something like that. You know, if every single door they went to, you know, somebody said that to them, I would think that would make a lot of them think.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, see, I think that is a great approach, because it does not leave out the gospel. What does someone who is trusting their own works need to hear? It's very simple. They need to hear how deep and how hard the law really is. Someone who says, "I'm keeping the law, I'm obeying Jehovah," they need to be shown that they aren't. But we cannot let them leave the doorstep without showing them the certainty that is found in Christ's perfect obedience as well. We'll talk more about that after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled "The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity?" Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Well, I think that's a very good question.
Check out our new YouTube video, "Good Question, IssuesETC.org," and click Support. Good questions, better answers, Issues Etc. Watch the short YouTube video, "Good Question," today. Just go to the support page of our website, IssuesETC.org.
Well, you know, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
One of the best pieces of mental health advice ever is the Bible's counsel and command to love your neighbor. one of the best antidotes to stress is the concern and the care of other people around you. I've known many Jehovah's Witnesses who've been able to overcome great stresses just because of the concern and the care of people around them, such as their Christian brothers and sisters.
Again, a promotional video produced by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Their beliefs and practices are the subject of our conversation with Pastor Eric Lang, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled When Jehovah's Witnesses Come Knocking. You can join us with questions or comments. We are coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's February the 15th, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or in advance of our conversation with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the Egyptian rebellion or revolution, whatever you want to call it, and human rights, visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. That conversation in about 25 minutes in the second hour of the program. Pastor Lang, we were talking before the break about how it might be the very best thing, rather than arguing the details or arguing the things that they would like to argue at the doorstep, to simply strike at the heart of uncertainty that is right at the center of their teaching. Key to that approach, seems to me, is whether or not they are taught they should be or can be certain of any kind of salvation.
Yeah, and part of the problem, again, is with terminology. For them, salvation involves, it depends on who you're talking about. So they distinguish between the anointed class and the other sheep. The anointed class would be, they take the book of Revelation, 144,000, literally, although they don't take it literally enough, since that's supposed to be Jewish chaste individuals, virgins. But anyway, be that as it may, they take it as that number literally, and these are people who, like Jesus, become spirit beings and are going to rule over the rest of the people who are on the earth, that is, the other sheep, and that would be anyone who's joining the Jehovah's Witnesses now. And so, you know, their whole idea of salvation is different. But again, but even with that, whether it's to be one of the anointed or whether it's to be one of the other class, it is all works righteousness. It's based on, you know, being obedient. And again, all that Jesus has accomplished in their theology is the opportunity to show that obedience to Jehovah.
So do they say, well, you can be certain of Jehovah's favor? Or do they say, well, you know, because this is obedience-based, you can never really be certain of Jehovah's favor?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that they would actually come out and say it either way. I think they would. I mean, but the whole point is, you have Jehovah's favor as long as you're obedient.
So again, you come back to whether or not, how obedient are you being? Are you being
exactly
as obedient as you should be?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and that's and you know, when one wonders about how, you know, they're motivated to go out door to door and these sort of things, there's a reason. It's a legalistic motivation. Fears can be a great motivator.
So the reason they're at your door is because they're doing what they think a good Jehovah's Witness should be doing.
Yes.
In your experience, how aware are they of the teachings of Orthodox Christianity?
You know, on a very, very superficial level. So, I mean, because in some ways they're also indoctrinated to fear certain terms. So one of the things I advise people, for example, is when you're dealing with them, if you're going to have a discussion, not to use the term Trinity. And they've been taught, you know, that is a satanic, you know, idea that has been foisted upon the church and upon those who wanted to be Christian. So, but do they really know why people have believed in a Trinity? No, I mean they'll quote some straw man passages, and knock those down, but you know, to have a thorough understanding of why we believe in the Trinity, why we believe Jesus is God, no.
What does the average Jehovah's Witness I mean, beyond trying to be obedient enough, what does he hope for?
Well, he wants to be one of the other sheep. Generally, usually, you don't hear very often that anybody thinks they want to be one of the anointed, and which is kind of an interesting thing because nobody knows who the anointed is except the anointed. And so, if I said I want to be one of the anointed, nobody could prove that I wasn't. So that's kind of an interesting concept. But generally, they're kind of, it's kind of interesting too. Even when I don't know if you knew or not, I actually had been involved with them when I was young, and I remember one of the discussions where the leader was saying, well, why would you want to go to heaven? That's no fun, what you really want is to live on paradise earth. And one of the things that where I think, nature abhors a vacuum, when we as Christians don't kind of give the whole counsel of God, a lot of times these groups will step in and pick up on things where we haven't said anything, and of course they'll twist them, but it makes people think, oh, well, my church never told me this. So one of the things that they emphasize very strongly is the new heavens and the new earth. And so the average Jehovah's Witness, he wants to be alive in the new heavens and the new earth, be on the new earth. And certainly, that's found in the scriptures, the new heavens and new earth. I think this is where, for example, Dr. Gibbs is very helpful when he reminds us that, for the early church, early Christians, it wasn't so much the intermediate state that was the big deal, although we confess and believe that, the thief who died was in paradise with Christ, and that, Paul said he was going to die and that would be gain to be with Christ. But yet the ultimate thing is the resurrection, when God restores everything. And I don't know that the church has always done a good job of presenting that in her doctrine and teaching. And so groups like Jehovah's Witnesses pick up on this, and they really play this up. You're going to see a lot of their books will be based on this idea of the paradise earth.
Could that also be an opportunity to say, well, I believe in a new heaven and a new earth, and by the way, dear Jehovah's Witness, it's a lot better than what your teachings imagine.
Right, right. Yeah, I think any point where you can, say, you've misunderstood. You heard we don't believe in this, but we do. But there's more. And I think that's a good approach.
In the end, what kind of a Jesus do they believe in?
Well, he's not much more different than us, other than in the sense of, he was the first created, and his role is he's honored in that, he's going to be having the rulership, the leadership. It's kind of interesting, too, for us, the Bible talks about us ruling, but that's for all Christians. For them, it's the anointed class who rules over the other sheep. And so him and the 144,000 get to rule, but they are not... really, there's not much difference, in Jesus with that regard, other than, he was the one who obtained the ransom for us.
So at the beginning, I asked you what we need to know when the Jehovah's Witness comes knocking about what the Jehovah's Witness believes. What does the Christian need to know about what he believes when the Jehovah's Witness comes knocking? About 30 seconds here.
Okay, well, I would say that to know that what exactly, how much God loves us and what he has done for us. I mean, one of the things I point out to Jehovah's Witnesses is that in their theology, because they don't believe in the Trinity, in their theology, and because they don't believe Jesus is God, God created a creature to kind of do his dirty work. I mean, this creature came to earth and did all these things, and God really didn't do anything. But that in our theology, this costs God everything. He becomes man, one of the things that they will promote and emphasize is God is love. They deny hell, for example, because God is love and God wouldn't create a hell. And I'll ask the question, so what's more loving, for God to create a creature to do this or for God to become one of us and do it for us? And that he's done it for us is where... that's our certainty of our salvation comes in.
Pastor Eric Lang is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled When Jehovah's Witnesses Come Knocking. Pastor Lang, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
When we come back, we've got hour two of Issues Etc. straight ahead on this Tuesday afternoon. We're going to kick it off with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris. We'll kind of put everything together. We often discuss same-sex marriage with her and divorce. Let's add to the list cohabitation, same-sex unions, contraception, all threats to traditional marriage, all of them coming from different directions. Some of them legal, others of them are profoundly ideological. Then a little bit later, after we talk with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris of the Ruth Institute, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest of Patrick Henry College. Egypt has experienced, probably still is experiencing, its revolution. What will become of human rights? Will human rights fare better in the new Egypt or worse? And what is the role of Islam in the new Egypt? Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest a little bit later in Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.